Back down to Earth, having been out in space on Mars, and antibiotics. Now, antibiotics were first discovered in the 1920s. They've since saved millions of lives. But within just a few years of their being introduced, resistant bacteria were already cropping up. And now we're at a stage where there are some infections afflicting humans here on Earth that we just can't treat. But Heather Hendrickson, who's a lecturer in molecular biosciences at Massey University, is exploring how we might be able to go back and use an older technology to solve this more modern-day problem. Hello. Good to have you with us.
Hi, guys.
So what is your approach? What are you trying to do?
I guess the older idea that you're talking about, in fact, is instead of thinking about using chemicals that bacteria and other microorganisms have been using against one another, let's just try using something like a microorganism. And so the idea here is that there are bacterial viruses, so viruses that exclusively infect bacteria, and that if we can find targeted groups of bacteriophages, which is the name for these viruses that only infect bacteria, then maybe we could come up with cocktails of bacteriophages that would be effective treatments. We could actually take them as a therapeutic agent instead of taking something like an antibiotic.
It's ironic to think that bacteria can catch a cold, then, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's much worse than a cold. So what happens with a bacteriophage infecting a bacterial cell is that, in fact, the bacteriophage will adhere to the bacterial cell, and then many of them actually have this, like, injector core tail. So they're basically like, these are bacteriophages, are just protein capsules, and they have a little tail, and they have like a little spider-like end often, and they kind of attach onto the cell and inject this like core down into these cells and just flood the cell with their copy of their DNA. And usually this is only like 50 genes, so pretty small. But that 50 genes or so that's injected in allows the bacteriophage to take over the machinery of the bacterial cell, build hundreds, often copies of itself, and then ultimately just it explodes the bacterial cell, releasing hundreds of copies of itself. So it's a lot worse than a cold.
Wow. So the tail, this injection thing, it's like the phage is going in there and taking over the photocopier in the office and saying, yeah, I'm going to control the printer and just print out all this weird stuff.
Really very similar. That's a great analogy.
Photocopying your bottom.
Exactly.
How did I not think of that before?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Nice to hear about the Radio New Zealand National Office Party, what goes on in there. But so when they do this, they get into the cell, they make hundreds of copies of the bacteriophage, burst the bacterial cell, and what those new copies would then go off and track down and kill more of the same bacteria.
Right, and I think one thing to remember is that they don't actually, and this is a real problem actually with online videos of these things, like they often look like they're kind of swimming, like they're out seeking for their next lunch, right, or their next parasitism candidate. But actually, they're completely inert. So they're just these protein shells with a little bit of DNA inside and this like very lethal-looking tail, little spidery bit. But they are completely inert. They don't have any ability to generate ATP. They don't have any energy source or anything. So they just kind of bump into the next cell. And it's really about the particular molecular identity of the bacterial cell and the bacteriophage that allows them to be specific. And actually, it's that specificity that's one of the things that make them really interesting in terms of therapeutic agents in the future.
You mean as in that they can only get into bacterial cells?
Well, only bacterial cells, and all of the bacteriophage that we've ever found have very specific bacterial targets, right? And so if I find a bacteriophage that's really good at infecting some kind of Pseudomonas, it's not very likely that that's going to be able to infect some kind of mycobacterium or some kind of E. coli. And the reason that that's really cool, especially when we compare it to this antibiotics and the things that we're going through in terms of antibiotics, is that antibiotics are often very like broad spectrum, which means that you dump antibiotics into your system, you've got lots of really good for you kinds of bacteria in your system. And that antibiotic almost goes off like a small nuclear bomb, right? And so it just kills tons of these bacteria, tons of bacteria that are really good for you. And the thing about a bacteriophage is because it's so targeted, if you can figure out what's making you ill and you can take a cocktail of these bacteriophages that are making you ill, then they'll only kill the bacteria that are making you ill. And that's really powerful, actually, compared to what we've been dealing with.
So why haven't we got them today?
What's going on?
What's that?
Why don't we haven't we got them in action today? What's stopping you?
So, actually, I should say that there was a time in Russia and in Russian Georgia where phage therapy was the done thing. And so phage therapy has been used for human therapeutics in the past, but it's not currently approved right now. And so one of the things that I'm doing at Massey University is I have a class of undergraduates, and we're trying to find new bacteriophages.
Are you, what, using them as victims?
I'm using them as scientists. So,
just checking.
Yeah, I have a group of undergraduates, and they go out and they bring us soil samples, and then they take the soil samples and they search for bacteriophages. And so far, we've found about a half dozen bacteriophages. We've sequenced three. And what the students are able to do is find their very own bacteriophage, completely unique, it's never been seen before. They're able to name them. And then we sequence the genome of each of these bacteriophages. And so the students actually get the opportunity to look at the DNA of a completely novel organism and, using the kinds of bioinformatic tools that we have access to today, figure out where the genes are and what the genes are in this completely new entity. And the undergraduates in my class are going to be publishing a paper with me on this.
And will they be potentially therapeutic, any of these? Will they attack human-infecting bacteria, or are they just infecting soil bacteria?
So it's all about the target organism that you use, right? And we happen to be using a pseudomonad. So this is a safe pseudomonas.
This is another kind of bacterium, isn't it? Pseudomonas.
Yes. Yeah. So this is a pseudomonas that's like really beneficial to plants. But it's very closely related to Pseudomonas aeruginosa, which is the really problematic agent in cystic fibrosis. And it's also very closely related to Pseudomonas syringae actinidae, which is the kiwi fruit pathogen. And so we're hoping that in the future, we can find bacteriophages that you would be able to, for example, if you had a big load of pollen that was headed on into the kiwi fruit industry here in New Zealand, you could spread these bacteriophages onto...
Because you import pollen to fertilize crops, don't you?
Yeah, it's a really important part of the way the kiwi fruit industry works here because of the male-female bias in the orchards, for example.
So, of course, if you brought in pollen that was contaminated with a pathogen, obviously New Zealand may have very good biosecurity at the airport, but if you've got some microscopic freeloader in your pollen,
right,
then you could infect your crops here, and this,
right,
would be devastating. But you're saying you could have a bacteriophage, a virus that would attack any bacteria that are in the pollen.
And it would be very specific. And the other nice thing about bacteriophages is if you have those kinds of entities, then they, of course, degrade, right? They're made out of protein and DNA, and they are delicious to lots of other organisms. So you spray them on the pollen, they infect anything that's there, and then they're basically going to be recycled.
Thank you, Heather Hendrickson. And Heather is a lecturer in molecular biosciences at Massey University. This is The Naked Scientist. This way up with me, Simon Morton from Radio New Zealand National, and Dr. Chris Smith,